The Lord be with you. We welcome you into God's house as we continue a series of Lenten midweek sermons focused on the seven last words of Christ on the cross, and tonight Jesus saying to the Apostle John, "Take care of my mom." One announcement to mention is that after consulting with some area pastors and some of you, we've decided to not force you to shake my hand as you come and as you go. And so if you want to shake my hand, I'll shake it. But if you want to wave at me, or if you want to elbow me, or you go ahead and do what you want to do, but don't feel it necessary to shake my hand. I have washed my hands recently, so we continue with our first song.
So divine,
never was love, dear King, never was grief like thine. This is my friend, in whose sweet praise I all my days could gladly spend. Please rise. The order of Vespers begins on page 229. O Lord, open my lips.
My mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation. You may be seated. We continue the reading of our Lord's Passion, drawn from the four Gospels. When they had sung a hymn, Jesus went out, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all be offended because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all the others deny you, I will never deny you." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, that this night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But Peter said more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the others said likewise. They went over the brook Kidron and came to a place which was called Gethsemane. There was a garden there, and he went into it with his disciples. Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus often met there
with his disciples. And when he was at the place, he said to them, "Sit down here while I go on ahead and pray. Pray that you do not enter into temptation." He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be full of sorrow and turmoil. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Wait here and watch with me." He went on a little from them, about a stone's throw. He fell on his face and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." An angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." In agony, he prayed more earnestly, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." His sweat fell on the ground like great drops of blood. When he got up from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, your will be done." When he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Look, the one who betrays me is here." Even while he was saying this, Judas, one of the 12, came with a detachment and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees. They came to the place with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went out to them and said, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, had taken his stand with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again, he asked them, "Whom do you seek?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I told you that I am he. If I am the one you seek, then let these others go." This was to fulfill the word he had spoken, "Of those you gave me, I have lost none." Now he that was betraying Jesus had given them a sign, saying, "The one whom I shall kiss, that is he. Seize him and be sure to take him away securely." He went straight up to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" "Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" They came then and laid their hands on Jesus and took him. When those who were about him saw what would happen, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus said, "No more of that." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. All they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Do you imagine that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how shall the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so? The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink of it?" Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out against a thief with swords and clubs to take me? When I was with you day after day teaching in the temple, you did not lay your hands on me, but this is your hour and the hour of the power of darkness. All this has happened that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. There was a certain young man who followed along. He had only a linen cloth about his naked body. They laid hold on him, but he slipped out of the linen cloth and fled away naked. Then the detachment and its captain and the officers of the Jews seized Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now Caiaphas was the one who gave counsel to the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. So far the reading. We continue with the Lenten responsory. Please rise.
Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord my God.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is in John chapter 25. So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, last Wednesday we heard a repentant thief pleading with Jesus in his dying moments to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. And Jesus responded with immediate grace, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." The week before, we saw cruel soldiers mocking, taunting, slapping, spitting, whipping, nailing. And even as they were crucifying, Jesus cried out again and again with an amazing grace, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Tonight, I invite you to come one more time to the foot of your Savior's cross with whatever it is that is making you weary or worried. Come with whatever it is that is dismaying and distressing you tonight. Come with every one of your memories of days gone by and your dreams of days yet to come. Come to the cross with every last one of your faults and your failures, every one of your troubles and your trials, and listen in. Listen in as Jesus looks his mom in the eyes and says, in effect, "Mom, the disciple I dearly love is going to take care of you. You're going to be okay." And then he looks John in the eyes, and no doubt with what we call the fourth commandment in mind, he says, "Take care of my mom." Two lessons we learned tonight. Number one, we rejoice in Jesus taking care of us. And number two, we take seriously our Lord's command that we take care of each other. Lesson number one, we rejoice in Jesus taking care of us. I can only imagine what it would be like to watch one of your own sons or daughters die. A number of you have done exactly that. I do have an image of in my mind of our own daughter, Michelle, holding close her infant son, Gabriel, for the 1 hour that he lived here and now. I can see my daughter holding him close as he breathed less and less, and then no more. I can see grandparents and parents and siblings praying and sobbing and then sobbing and praying some more. I can see little Gabriel's dad holding close a little casket, getting down into a grave, placing that little boy in a cold November grave. I can see family members covering up that casket with dirt, singing a few songs, reading some scripture, and then beginning the wait for the resurrection of that body. And that's really who we are, awaiting the last day where there shall be a resurrection of all the bodies. Tonight I invite you to imagine the crucifixion from a mother's point of view. Jesus was flesh of her flesh. He was bone of her bones. No doubt Mary remembered well that silent and holy night when she first held him in her arms. She remembered nursing and caressing him. She played with him. She took care of his every need. When Herod's soldiers came after them, it's likely that the donkey would be too slow. Likely that they ran for their very lives towards Egypt. When Jesus was 12, she remembered thinking he was lost. She searched him out. Already then, her son was focused on his father's business, on the mission he had been sent to accomplish. Mary's last recorded words in the Bible were at the wedding of Cana, where she said to the servants, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." And now, on a little hill outside of Jerusalem, she could no doubt remember Simeon predicting that a sword would pierce her heart. His hands, now nailed to a tree, well, she used to hold them and guide them as he took his first steps. Those arms now stretched out, well, she remembers him using those arms to hug her. Now, there was nothing Mary could do except to be there. She had heard him praying to the Father to forgive those who crucified him. She had heard his promise to one of the thieves, a promise of paradise. And perhaps Mary wondered if Jesus would say anything to her. And there was. Jesus takes care of his mom to the bitter end. Mary may well have had four other sons, James, Joseph, Simon, and Jude, but none of them could be found in the time of her greatest need. In John chapter 7, we read that the brothers of Jesus did not believe in him. They showed him no sympathy or support. Mark records at least one time these brothers had come to take him away because his own brothers said about Jesus, "He's crazy." Jesus had made it clear that his true brothers and sisters and mother were those who believed in him. His family were those who did the will of his Father. Jesus takes care of Mary by making sure John provided a home. Mary would not be a burden to John. This would be a privilege. Scholars suggest that Mary may well have lived 12 years after the crucifixion. The New Testament teaches us that John stayed in Jerusalem while the other apostles went on to do mission work elsewhere. John, from that day forward, was her son, her friend, even her pastor. John had rested on the very bosom of Jesus. John had seen the very glory of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. John lived to be 100 years old. And history tells us he may have been the only disciple to die a natural death. And so the promise of the fourth commandment comes true. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. But Jesus did so much more for Mary than provide for her a safe home here on earth. Jesus cared for her and us, as you well know, by living the perfect life none of us could even get close to living. Jesus cared for her and us by suffering all that he was appointed to suffer. Jesus cared for her and us ultimately by dying the very death that gives us life. Lesson number one tonight, we rejoice at the foot of the cross as we see Jesus taking care of his family. And lesson number two, we would take seriously our Lord's command that we take care of one another. Sons taking care of their moms. Grandmas and grandpas taking care of their grandchildren. Parents taking care of their kids. When Jesus asks John to take care of his mom, we are reminded of Jesus on the previous night washing his disciples' feet and then commanding them, as I have loved you, now I want you to love one another. When Jesus makes sure that his mom is cared for, he is teaching us one last time to make sure we take care of the widows and the orphans in our midst. Just this past Sunday, we noted one of the great promises of God is that we are part of a large family. We call that the Holy Christian Church. It's here in the church that we cry with those who are crying. We laugh with those who are ready to laugh. We give rides to those who need rides. We help those who are feeling helpless. We pay attention to people who wonder if anybody really cares about them tonight. Jesus isn't so much asking us to build prisons and hospitals. He's asking us to visit those who are in prison or in the hospitals. Unless they're in quarantine, of course. He isn't so much telling us to cheer up, tomorrow is a new day. Rather, he's inviting us to live today on behalf of one another, as if it could be our last day. Tonight, Jesus would be telling us not so much to make sure that we just kind of go through the motions in our life together, but rather that we would be looking each other in the eyes. This week, we would be going beyond the surface in our conversations. We would be loving one another, not just with kind words, but with actions that often speak much louder than words. The kingdom of God is like a medium-sized church and a medium-sized community full of folks who keep on soaking up the love of Jesus in the sanctuary of their church, and then they go looking for folks out and about who need some extra kindness and a healthy dose of patience. These folks hear the word of God, they treasure the word of God, and then they go looking for folks who are feeling as though there is an emptiness in their hearts and they're not even sure why. If you listen in on their conversations, more often than not, you'll find these people, first of all, to be grateful, and secondly, serious. Grateful that Jesus has been taking care of their needs in both body and soul, and serious about taking care of each other. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life eternal. Amen. We continue with our next song, 447, number verses 7 through 9. You may be seated.